thought I would be what I wanted to be. I thought I would build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you. I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Or I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Mountains too high, and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to sin, because I can't even walk without you. Make Jesus my own. Now on, when I'm in trouble, on Him I'll call. If I don't trust Him, I'd be less than a man, because I can't even without you holding my hand. Or I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, and the valley's too wide.
Thank you, Brother Eloy. Well, welcome again to the service this morning. We are certainly glad to have everybody with us. I'm starting a new series this morning, and I'm entitling it, Keep the Fire Burning. And so I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would, this morning, as we read together from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 26 and verse 20, and we're just going to look at the first part of that verse this morning. Proverbs chapter 26, beginning to read, or reading from the 20th verse. Read it along with me if you would, follow along. If you need a copy of the Word of God, there should be one under the chair right in front of you. Please make use of that today, and we just ask that you return it before you leave this morning. Notice what the writer of the book of Proverbs says, and of course we know that that is Solomon. He says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, we ask, dear God, that you would just bless this message today. Lord, that we would apply it to our hearts. Dear God, that you would help us to understand that we as children of God, we as members of the Berean Baptist Church have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to keep the fire burning. Help us, Lord, to do everything we can to accomplish that. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Be seated if you would please. And that's rather a strange title, but, and I have a firefighter sitting here this morning, and so he's probably wondering where I'm going to go with this message. Fire can be destructive, but under the right circumstances, fire can be a useful tool. And so it is in that vein and that idea that I want to speak to you this morning. And of course, we want to make a spiritual application. We want to take a physical thing, fire, and we want to give you a spiritual application that you can use in your spiritual life. We as children of God, we as the church of God, Berean Baptist Church, we need a spiritual fire this morning in our church. But we'll never have it or we'll never sustain it unless someone keeps the fire burning. Now, the fire that I'm speaking about this morning started with John the Baptist, humanly speaking. He spoke of the fire. He spoke of the one who would come, who would take away the sin of the world. The Holy Spirit breathed breath into, or was the spark that helped the church to accomplish the job that Jesus commanded it to do. And so as we look at this morning, and I'll give you just a little chemistry lesson, there are three things that are needed for fire. One of them, first of all, is oxygen. Without a fire, without oxygen, you cannot have a fire. Number two, you must have fuel. The fuel is the wood, or the combustible material which will create the fire. The third one is a heat source. This heat source is the spark or the point of ignition that lights the fire. And so I want to take these elements this morning and I want to help you to see that we have a job to keep the spiritual fire burning this morning. And so as we think about this, I would like for us to consider somebody in the New Testament who helped to do that. Turn, if you would please, to the book of Acts chapter number 28. Now, if you're familiar with the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, you know that it deals with the shipwreck of the Apostle Paul along with 275 other individuals who were on a ship that was on its way to Rome across the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if you're familiar with the story at all, you know there's a point in time that Paul had a vision, and he told the captain of the ship, "Don't go. Stay in a safe place. Stay in a safe harbor." They were docked in a safe harbor. The shipmaster completely ignored the warning of Paul, went out into the sea, and sure enough, here comes this humongous storm, and the next thing they know, they are shipwrecked on the island of Melita, as it was called in those days. Today, we would call it the island of Malta. So as we pick up the story in the 28th chapter, in verse number 1, it says, "And when they were escaped," this is from the ship, "then they knew that the island was Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now that barbarous is in reference to these would be uneducated people. These would be people not, well-versed. But yet they were a kind people. It said that they showed no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, we can relate this a little bit to this with recent things that are happening. Our country has suffered three major hurricanes in a short period of time, Puerto Rico being involved in the last of those, and understanding that Puerto Rico is an American territory, and quite devastation. And so here they are in the Mediterranean Sea. This storm has come up. It has caused the ship to be shipwrecked, the total loss of the vessel, but yet every person is spared. Who were able to swim to shore. Others come aboard or come ashore by holding on to pieces of the ship, but everybody is safe. So then the barbarians, the people who live on the island, kindle a fire. They start a fire. And in our story, spiritually speaking, I want to relate that to John the Baptist, who started a fire that swept the world and is still burning today, 2,000 years later. And it is called the church. The church. Jesus came to establish his local New Testament church. He empowered it with the Holy Spirit from on high. But you and I play a responsibility this morning. Ryan sings a song about that tells us to do the possible. You see, we are co-laborers with Jesus. We are co-laborers with the Heavenly Father. We are co-laborers with the Holy Spirit. God does only what he can do through the works of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. But there is a part that we play, and the Lord is not going to do that part. So we must do the possible and then leave the impossible up to him. Now, you and I cannot save a soul. We don't have the power to do that. Jesus can. Jesus can save the lost. The Holy Spirit can empower and fill that individual who comes to Christ. We can't do that. But we have a part to play. Paul realized this. Now notice what happens in verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, what did he do with those sticks? He laid them on the fire. My friend, that is the job of the Christian. That is the job of every member of the Berean Baptist Church, is to gather sticks, to gather wood, which is our fuel for the fire that we're speaking about this morning. Now, let me just give you some important ideas about fire. Fire speaks, first of all, of light. Now, we don't think about it so much today because we live in the 21st century. We have electricity. And so we don't think so much about the importance of light until the power goes out like it did on Wednesday night when we were here in the service and your preacher preached to you in the dark. And then we understand the importance of light. Well, in the days of Jesus, light was provided by candle power. Light was provided by torches. Light was provided by lanterns. And so we don't so much think about that today, but the wise person in their home will have a flashlight, will have candles, will have maybe a lantern or something, because from time to time, the power goes off. So the first thing that fire does under control is that it provides light. The second thing that it will do is it, in the wintertime, fire produces warmth. Fire produces warmth. It will. There's nothing that will warm you any more in the wintertime than a good, hot fire. My wife and I had some help many years ago. We had a family when I was at the Berean Baptist or the Fellowship Baptist Church on staff there. A family of the ministry helped us to buy a wood stove. Why was that important? It was important because it was more important to feed my children food than it was to pay the gas company. So for 5 consecutive years in the wintertime, we exclusively used our wood stove. Now, let me help you to understand something. You can have a wood stove, and the wood stove by itself is not going to provide any heat. Strangest thing, George, I bought that wood stove, and it did nothing. It just sat there. Somebody's got to build a fire. So if somebody's got to build a fire, then you have to have some wood. Somebody's got to go out and gather that wood. I gathered wood in the Hamas. I gathered wood in the Manzanos. I gathered wood in Edgewood. I gathered wood all over the place. Sometimes people would give us wood. But in order for us to have a fire, to have warmth, we had to have wood. So here we see the Apostle Paul. And understand something about this. The Apostle Paul has special gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it is not beneath the Apostle Paul to gather sticks to feed the fire. So you know what that tells me? As a child of God, there is nobody within the local church who is too good or that it would be beneath them to gather wood. Gathering wood is hard work. Very hard work. Because you have to go out and find it. You have to haul it. You have to cut it up in a size that will fit, in our case, the wood stove, about 24 inches in width. So the logs have to be cut to size in order to fit in that wood stove. Well, guess who gets to do that? You're looking at him. So I got to gather it. I got to cut it. I got to stack it. I got to cover it up so that it wouldn't be wet, because wet wood is a little more of a challenge to start a fire. Now, it's not impossible, but it's a little more work. And so I learned if I want to have a fire, I want to have dry wood. So you got to use this. You got to be prepared. So in the summer and the fall, we would gather wood so that we would have heat and warmth in the wintertime. You say, Brother Don, today we don't need that. We have electricity. Well, I had electricity too. But guess what? If you have a furnace and the electricity goes out, that heater ain't no good to you. It don't work. I found out another thing. If the gas company sells too much natural gas to Texas and you have a cold front that moves in, guess what they have to do to you? They have to ration your gas. So then all of a sudden, like happened about 7 years ago, we had a cold front in December that went into January. And guess what? We did not have enough natural gas in New Mexico, even if you had a heater. So you know what we relied on? We relied on that dry wood. And we got that turkey moving. I mean, we got it glowing. That thing was hot, 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 hot. And it felt so good. So fire produces light. It produces heat, which is helpful. And it also can keep you from freezing to death. It will help you not to freeze to death. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's shipwrecked. He's not too big of a preacher to gather sticks. And he takes them and he tosses them on the fire. I want to give you one other thing that fire does. It drives away evil. Now let's pick up the verse in chapter 28, verse number 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and he laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Little did he know, it was probably nighttime, as he was gathering sticks, he didn't realize it, he picked up a snake in the process of gathering those sticks. Well, he throws those sticks into the fire, and immediately that viper reacts to the heat, and he latches on to Paul's hand. Notice what Paul does. Go to verse number 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. The next thing that fire can do is to ward off the enemy. You see, spiritually speaking, the devil doesn't like a hot church. That's profound. Write that down. The devil doesn't like a church that's on fire for Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't like a church that is gaining ground for Jesus Christ. So he's going to do everything he can to try to throw a wet blanket on what the church is doing. Remember, I talked about the three elements of fire. Now, provided it's a small enough fire. Some of you ladies would probably have a kitchen fire. Been there, done that. My wife had a kitchen fire one time. You know what's the best thing to do before it gets out of control? It just to remove the oxygen from it, just smother it. And without oxygen, the fire will go out. That's the quickest method. But sometimes the fire is too big to do that. So you have to resort to other ways. You have to, So the devil, the first thing he wants to do, when the church is on fire, he wants to throw a wet blanket on it. He wants to smother the oxygen that's in the church so that he can put out the fire, because he is fearful when God's church is on the move. He is fearful when God's church is glowing hot and things are happening and people are being saved and people are doing things to the honor and glory of the Lord. The devil always wants to throw a wet blanket on that and put out the fire. So here we see fire speaks of light, it speaks of warmth, it speaks of survival, and it speaks of driving away evil. Now, there are some things that I want to draw out of this message this morning. First of all, number one, I want to give you the duty of every church member. The duty of, listen to me, every church member in relation to this. It is the duty of every church member to keep the fire burning. And I'm talking about the spiritual fire. That means we're going to have to be involved in gathering the wood. We're going to have to be involved in feeding the fire with the wood. We're going to have to be involved in keeping that fire going. Now, my children learned at an early age, because we had that wood stove. It's kind of like the story of that somebody once said that, you know, we've had remote control for years. When I was a boy, I was the remote. You understand what I'm saying? The parents wanted the TV. It was back in the days when we had the dial. Remember? Well, some of you don't remember. This really happened. There was a dial on the TV. It had three channels, if you were lucky. And so as a kid, I was the remote. I got to change the channel. I'm tired of watching that. Let's watch something else. What do you want to watch? Well, there's only three channels. It wasn't a hard decision. When the fire, see, when you have a fire, sometimes the fuel is consumed, and then all you have is coals. And so sometimes somebody's got to get in there and they got to stoke the fire a little bit. That's where the remote comes in. That's where I taught the kids, it's your turn to stoke the fire. It's your turn to feed the fire. See, Dad doesn't have to do everything. That's why I had them kids. They get to HEP. And I'm the pastor and you're the HEPers. And we're all involved in this, and sometimes somebody's got to rise up and they got to stoke the fire, got to keep the coals going, keep them hot. Somebody's got to throw wood on the fire. Well, how do we throw wood on the fire? Well, first thing is you got to show up. Does that make sense? If you're going to throw wood on the fire, you got to show up. If you're going to throw wood on the fire, you got to be willing. You can't just sit back and say, well, that's somebody else's job. No, we don't want the fire to go out. We want the fire to keep burning. We want the fire to keep glowing hot. We want people to continue to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we all have a job. We feed the fire by tithing. We feed the fire by giving to missions. And by the way, I thank God if you tithe, and I thank God if you give to missions, but that does not exempt you from doing other things in the ministry. Because, see, we don't do just one thing. Remember what I talked about? I gathered the wood. I cut the wood. I stacked the wood. I kept the wood dry. I fed the fire. You see, we're not just limited to one job. It's the job of every child of God to be involved and to feed the fire, to keep the fire going. And so it is the duty of every Christian to be a part of doing the job. That is our duty, to keep the fire going. The second thing I want you to see is the danger. Go back, if you would please, to Proverbs chapter number 26 and verse 20 and verse A. Notice it once again, if you would please. Notice what the writer wrote. Where no fire is, there. Where no fire is, there the fire goeth out. So that is telling me, when we think about this spiritually speaking, that if we let the fire go out, the whole thing collapses. We must keep the fire burning. Here's the danger. No wood, and the fire goes out. How is it that there's no wood? Well, first of all, the fire has gone out in many hearts. They've become cold on God. Many a Christian heart this morning has lost its fire. Cold and indifferent to the things of Almighty God. How sad it is that for many a Christian, they don't want to go to church because they don't want to be reminded of their responsibility. They don't want to be reminded that they need to gather the wood. They don't want to be reminded that they need to feed the fire. So their hearts have grown cold. Not only that, but the fire has gone out in many homes, in our communities. The love of the mother and dad has grown cold for one another. The fire has gone out. And the relationship ends in a divorce because they let the fire go out. How sad. The fire has gone out in many houses of God this morning, in many churches. Churches that no longer have Sunday schools or evening services or Wednesday night services. Why? Because they've let the fire go out. Cold and indifferent. The average church in America today, you could, in a spiritual sense, you could, the aisles are, it's an ice skating rink and you could skate to the altar. Cold and indifferent towards the things of Almighty God. Because the fire has gone out. Their faith is cold. Their love is cold. Their joy is cold. Their thoughtfulness is cold. Their kindness toward each other is cold and indifferent. Their worship is cold. Their testimonies are cold. You remember when we used to have testimony time? And people just couldn't wait to give a testimony about what God was doing in their life. What's happened? I'm afraid in the lives of too many Christians, the fire has gone out. And in their praising God, has grown cold. Now, I'm not talking about being charismatic. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm talking about being excited about the things of God. I'm talking about when God does something in the minute in the service and God's children say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with that. That's scriptural. I'm not talking about dancing in the aisles. I'm not talking about your eyes rolling back in your head. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But I'm talking about genuine praise for the Lord. For many, the praise of God has drawn cold. How sad, how indifferent towards the things of Almighty God. Well, we talked about the duty. It's the job of every believer, the job of every church member to feed the fire. We talked about the danger of the fire going out because of indifference. And now I want to talk about the deliverance because I've got good news. I want to talk about the deliverance this morning of every church member. It's time to feed the fire. Are you listening to me? It is time to feed the fire. How do we do it? Well, I want you to understand this morning that we have the greatest woodshed there is. It's called the Word of God. This is our spiritual woodshed right here. And we have all the fuel available to us that we need to accomplish the job of building the Lord's church. We don't have a lack of power this morning. We have a lack of participation. We have a lack of folks that will just get down and do the job and ask God to help them to feed the fire. That's what we need today. We have the greatest woodshed that there is. It's the Word of God. It is filled with the best wood God has to offer. What is this wood? Well, first of all, it's hardwood. It is hardwood. Now, I learned in building a fire that you want to start out with a soft wood, something that is very combustible. that will start the fire. There are certain woods that are lighter than other types of wood. And so you start with those. And then when you get the fire going, then you up it up a little bit. You start throwing in the oak or maybe the cedar. You see, you don't start a fire with cedar. It's a hardwood. Oak is a hardwood. So you start with pine. And as you build the fire up, then you bring it to the hardwood. Why do you want a hardwood? Because it'll burn longer. And you won't have to feed the fire as often. And it'll give you more heat. The Word of God is filled with hard wood. The Scripture tells us that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. What is that? That is teaching. That is the Word of God. But you know what? When we get saved, we don't get an injection of doctrine. Have you figured that out yet? You know what that comes from? It comes from study. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from getting into and digesting the Word of God. Now, when we start out as a child of God, we start out with the milk. But then we want to graduate to the meat, to the hearty stuff. You know, there's some times that I just need meat. You know, when I've been preaching and I leave this place and somebody wants to go for salad and I say, I need meat. That wasn't a salad sermon. Salad ain't going to get it. I need me some roast beef. I need me some steak. Smothered in gravy. And mushrooms. The good stuff. I don't want no salad. That's for rabbits. I want some meat. You know, sometimes we need to grow up. And sometimes we need to learn our responsibility that we need to feed the fire. And so we want a good hardwood that's going to keep that fire burning and glowing hot, producing warmth that we need to keep us on fire for the Lord. Not only is the Word of God hardwood, it is also heaven's wood. It is heaven's wood. The Word of God didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven. It was God breathed upon man. So the Word of God is hardwood. The Word of God is heavenly wood. It is God sent. Understand, as you read the Word of God, this is God speaking to you. It will energize you. It will help you when you are down, when you are discouraged, when you are despondent, when you feel like throwing in the towel. You understand this is the Word of God. It is heaven sent. It is heaven breathed. So it is hardwood. It is heavenly wood. Next, the Word of God is holy wood. Not Hollywood. Holy wood. Holy wood. God's Word, not man's. That's why I have a problem with anyone tampering with the Word of God. I believe that we have in the English language the tool that God wants us to reach the English-speaking people of the world with. It is the KJV, the 1611 translation of the Word of God. It has served us well for 400 years. It is the only version of the Word of God that has brought revival anywhere. It is the KJV. It is holy. And I have a problem with people tampering with the Word of God. The reason for that is I do not trust men. I do not. But I trust God. Do you understand and do you know that the translators of the KJV did so under the scrutiny of King James? And they had the threat of their life upon them if they made a mistake. It has served our world well, brought many a revival, and it'll do it again if we'll just get back to using God's holy word. The Word of God is holy. And we need to understand that. We need to realize what it is. And we need to understand that this version of the month club is all about revenue. It's not about reaching people. It is about dollars and cents. I've said it. Let me move on. It's hardwood. It's heaven's wood. It's holy wood. And it is helpful wood. The Word of God is helpful wood. It produces warmth. Just like that fire that I was telling you about on cold nights, the closer that we would get to that stove, the warmer we felt. We were warmed inside by that fire. And I'm telling you, child of God, the closer you get to the Word of God, the warmer you will feel spiritually. The farther you back away, the colder you will get. Stay close to the Word of God. It will keep you warm. It will keep the fire burning in your heart. It will keep the fire burning to reach the lost. It will keep you where you need to be. And the last thing, let me repeat these. We talked about hardwood, we talked about heaven's wood, we talked about holy wood and helpful wood, and the last one is healing wood. Healing wood. What do I mean by that? It keeps our blood circulating. You ever have trouble in the morning? Maybe you younger folks, maybe you don't experience this. Us who've been around a few decades, we get up in the morning. Some mornings, it's just hard to move. Some mornings, it's just difficult. Why? Because that blood's not moving. You got to wake it up. You got to get it flowing. And do you understand, if you don't get blood to that hand, it's going to die. If you don't get blood circulating to this arm, it's going to die. If you don't get blood to your ankles and your feet, they will die. And they'll start cutting them off, chopping them off, because they're no longer any good to you. You've got to keep, physically speaking, you've got to keep that blood flowing. You've got to keep it moving. And when you can do that, you can move more easily, more freely. And the same is true spiritually speaking. The Word of God is healing. It keeps our spiritual blood flowing, moving. We can be active spiritually. How sad it is to think about Christians who have just stopped, no longer active for the Lord, no longer doing anything for the Lord. And I understand as we get older, you know, maybe what we do needs to change. I get that. I understand that. I firmly believe that. You know, as we get older, we can't physically do what we did when we were younger. But that doesn't mean we stop. That doesn't mean our ministry is over. It just means that our ministry has changed. And I'm going to take this thought to set up the next message that is coming. Because I believe that some of the greatest success for a child of God can be in the senior years. I believe that. Because there is a ministry that we can be involved in the church, that is the most valuable ministry of all, and that is the ministry of prayer. And I'm not talking about bless this lunch for this bunch. That's not what I'm saying. So if that's what you're thinking, no. I'm talking about fervent prayer. Prayer that changes things. We'll get into that next time. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We need you. Lord, help us to remind, just to help us to understand that we have a responsibility to your church to keep the fire going, to keep it burning. Lord, maybe some should come to the altar today just to ask, Lord, how can I once again be on fire for you? Lord, I've gotten cold and indifferent in my service, in my love for you and my love for others, in my compassion for souls. And maybe I can't still do some of the things that I was physically able to do in the past, but that doesn't mean you're done with me. Oh, Father, help me today. Help me to be a willing vessel. Help me to serve you to your honor and glory. Lord, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice this morning who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they've never realized that you died for them and that you're the only way they can be saved, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will speak to that heart today and that they might receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Whatever the need is today, speak to hearts. Help us to be on fire for you. Help us to not let the fire go out, the fire that John started 2,000 years ago. Oh, Lord, the world needs the church today more than ever. God, help us to stay busy. Help us to carry the wood. Help us to gather the wood. Help us to cut the wood. Help us to feed the fire. Whatever's necessary, help us today in Jesus' name. Please stand.